Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, this is Peter Paul Berzola, and that's our theme, our working theme, Hector Berlioz's March to the Scaffold. We don't know, the election returns are not in yet, so we don't know who the voters of Massachusetts will be sending to the scaffold. a lot of us have our own candidate, but anyway, we shall see what we shall see. Sorry about yesterday. It was some confusion. I had some major surgery and a little groggy, and I made a mistake on the scheduling. Our favorite scheduling is Tuesday at this time and Thursday, and we dropped Saturday because it was too much. The Haitian disaster has highlighted the U.S. military, and in our military, one of the ships sent down there was the USS Carl Vinson. Carl Vinson is an aircraft carrier, CVN, that's what that means. And Carl Vinson was one of the longest-serving Southerners in the U.S. Congress. And he was from, I think, Georgia, and he was known as, the Swamp Ox. And I think he was the uncle of Senator Sam Nunn, chairman of the Armed Services Committee. And they named, of course, they've been naming aircraft carriers in this generation after people. Before World War II, they named aircraft carriers after battles, the Wasp, the Hornet, Enterprise, Lexington, and then I guess when they built this new batch, they started to name after presidents and after people. But anyway, we see this ship highlighted, and 14 years ago in San Francisco, when it was ported at Alameda here in the Bay Area, it was the scene of the biggest, most outrageous military civilian abortion of justice probably in U.S. history. Case of Stephen Mary, an 18-year-old youth, a Billy Budd type, who was stalked, lured, probably drugged, we believe he was drugged, raped and railroaded here in San Francisco by an illegal alien who was profiting from the HUD funds, multi-million dollars for the Community Development Block Grant Program, Affordable Housing, AIDS, and all of those programs. No accountability, but the Prairie was politically connected. Not only that, he was an Argentinian from a prominent family whose family was connected to the oldest bank in Argentina, the Bank of Province of Buenos Aires. And that bank dates back to 1822 and is suspected of being a repository of loot that was stolen from by the Nazis, stolen from Europeans in World War II. And by Europeans, I mean, I don't only mean people, Jews. I mean any person in the occupied countries that the Nazis took over or conquered in World War II. They stole whatever assets they could get from whomever, whenever, and however. Excuse me, so I'm still getting over my surgery. But anyway, this case is ongoing. You can go to the web, Stephen, Stevenary. This case affects the due process and human rights of every U.S. military person, especially young recruits who are not sophisticated about homosexual predators. Incidentally, on this day, ironically, President Nixon hated homosexuals and used to refer to San Francisco as the G.D. Faggoty City. But I don't know if he knew this or did it anyway. He was very angry with the U.S. Supreme Court, and several presidents were, including FDR, and he nominated a guy named G. Harold Carswell. And it turns out that Carswell was one of the worst nominees that ever was put up by the White House to sit on the U.S. Supreme Court. It turns out that Carswell was a probably a closeted homosexual or bisexual. He was caught in a public toilet soliciting an undercover vice cop, the very same thing that Juan Pifre did down in San Jose, in which we will bring up the documents on our YouTube site and our other sites. These were among the things that were concealed in this Steve Neri case here in San Francisco, this kangaroo court case, which has cost the American taxpayer, incidentally, an estimated $15 million. One of the things that people have got to realize in this ongoing uproar here in San Francisco in the federal courts is that people don't realize that there's supposed to be a code of ethics for these staff attorneys and these clerks. The state courts, I don't believe, have one. If they do, we don't see them practicing it because, judges cannot go through every case, research every case and all the case law when they have a huge docket, and the dockets are getting bigger. So they rely on the clerks and the staff attorneys, and I did some of this work independently for lawyers, law firms, and I did start my career working in the federal courthouse as a clerk. So I'm familiar with some of this, and I've updated myself in the work that I've done, a lot of it volunteer legal work. Anyway, what's going on is that there have been two scandals in the Ninth Circuit, which is a very troubled, controversial federal circuit, where clerks have altered the filing of cases. It was one up in Seattle, and they did this with the Steve Neri case, and we have irrefutable documentation on that. And it's just a large mass of paperwork, over 2,000 pages, and we're just going through it and selecting the stuff that's relevant. It's not a lot of just loose paper, which is a lot of cases, whether they're state or federal. It's called papering the opponents. The lawyers do this just to weigh you down, wear down their opponent. But it's significant because I've coined a phrase, crotch politics, and that's what we're seeing here in San Francisco and in California in this whole homosexual, gay, lesbian, NAMBLA marriage agenda that's going on. And, you know, a lot of cases are not being heard or are backlogged because the courts are dealing with this because there are clerks and there may be some judges who are in the closet who have taken on this agenda. They've embraced it. As I say, if they've embraced the agenda, are they engaged in the practices? So that's a question that every American should be asking because you are paying for all of these people's salaries, their health care. Some of them get affordable housing, condos. I'm not talking about the bribes, which has happened with these straw buyers. There's a case which we will get into with the documentation. But the vacations, the retirement, all of these perks the American citizen and the American taxpayer is paying for. So it is relevant to you. You should pay attention, especially people who are in danger of losing their jobs or have lost their jobs or are trying to hang on to their jobs and their houses and educational benefits for their kids. So, pay attention because it affects you. Ignorance is not bliss. I've repeatedly said that, and I will continue to say that. Excuse me. But one of the other big scandals is a lot of people don't know that the state bars, at least here in California, supposedly the biggest, is increasingly becoming one of the worst and most corrupt. We just had a scandal involving over $500,000 embezzled by one of the employees or one of the lawyers working for the California State Bar, which is a quasi-public organization. Every lawyer who wants to practice in California has to be a member. I don't know why. The bar does nothing. Their lobbyist who goes to Sacramento to lobby for perks for lawyers in California, he was paid over $400,000 a year. I don't know what he did to earn this. And I've known people in my career who were connected to the bar, and they talk about the scandals. And if you are politically connected, or racially preferred attorney here in California or connected to one of the big law firms, you can get away with all kinds of theft, perjury, intimidation of witnesses. And there's and also the fact that people do not know that every lawyer has to pay over $400 a year membership fee, and a lot of them are claiming, what do we get, what does the bar do, what can they do, what they should do, and why aren't they doing it? And so it's what we call easy pickings for lawyers who are politically or racially connected, the preferential groups that are racial and ethnic groups which are active, like Asians, blacks, Jews, and I'm not picking on any group in particular, but those of you who are the political cognoscenti know what I'm talking about because you've seen it. And you're paying for it, and when people get railroaded like Steve Neri, and there are others who get railroaded into state prison, the costs are enormous. And also you're destroying lives. And of course, in the Steve Neri case, you paid for his military training, and we've lost all that. Excuse me. We'll get into more of that later with more documentation. Now, another interesting thing, since it's another part of our economy, have you noticed a lot of the grocery stores, Safeway, Lucky, the Kroger chain, they're dropping their prices and they're bragging about it. But have you noticed the restaurants? Have you eaten out lately? Have you looked at a menu? Are they dropping their prices? But this is interesting. Over the Christmas holidays, we had our corporate law office dinner at a fancy restaurant. I call it a mafia place. It looks like it anyway. Interesting characters have dined there and still dine there. But anyway, we've noticed that the portions were smaller. The food was half-cooked. The service was atrocious. The prices were the same as last year. And all in all, it was not a good Christmas dinner. We've heard these complaints from other people. So it may be that restaurants, to survive, and of course, restaurant business is a really cutthroat business, just like the grocery business. So it may be that restaurants are cutting back the portions but not cutting back the prices. Now, a lot of us drink espresso coffee. This is the big thing, whether it's Starbucks, which some people call Seattle Swill, or Peet's, or Peerless, or depending where you're at. But espresso coffee has become the rage across the country, and, of course, Kona in Hawaii. I don't know what they're drinking in Alaska. Excuse me. Still getting over my surgery and the cold. But anyway, we have noticed, those of us who are connoisseurs, and I drink all kinds of coffee and other people, we've got to have our cup of Joe, as it's called. I have noticed that they haven't lowered their prices, but it seems that the coffee is diluted. It's not as strong as I'm accustomed to having it when I buy out and, you know, go out and buy coffee at Starbucks or Pete's or whatever. So it's something you might pay attention to. If you notice that this is happening, I suggest that you bring it to the attention promptly to the management. You're paying for it. You should get what you pay for. You should get the quality that they claim that they are maintaining, or if they're not, they should rise back up to those high standards that they claim they have and they're charging you for. So it's up to you. Ask and expect to receive. If you don't ask, they're not going to offer. So keep that in mind. Another thing I was going to bring up today, the history. This is interesting. We talked today is also a person who died today was William O. Douglas. Probably the most liberal, they'd love him in Massachusetts, member of the U.S. Supreme Court, and he was a hiker, an outdoorsman. And ironically, when we talk about the financial scandals, William O. Douglas, who is from the state of Washington, he was one of the first people that FDR appointed, I think, to the Securities and Exchange Commission, which is under fire from all directions, for a lot of reasons, and ineptitude, incompetence, and failure to do their job. Basically, that's what it is. So he died today. we have Carswell, who was nominated, the first probably open homosexual or bisexual. In media, we had the first presidential televised presidential news conference, 1955, in the Eisenhower administration. So it'll be interesting tomorrow. I'm sure that Mr. O will have a news conference. It'll be interesting to see his take on what is happening or what will have happened by the time all the votes are in or should be in Massachusetts. And also, this is kind of, in a way, typical. Today is the birthday of Gene Stapleton. And she may have sounded like a hack, but she was really a classically trained actress. And those of us who remember All in the Family with Archie Bunker, in a lot of ways, what's going on in America today is what Nixon called the silent majority, or somebody called it that. These people are starting to speak out. They're not only Tea Party people who support the Tea Party or who are active in it or who are interested in it, but the average American, the Gene Stapletons, the Archie Bunkers, and of course he was trashed, are speaking out, and they're tired of being bullied and intimidated, and their children are, they're tired of having their children bullied, intimidated, and sometimes raped. Now, also, Carol O'Connor, who played Archie Bunker, he was a classically trained actor also, and I think he starred in one of the Julius Caesar, one of the films, or the one of the plays on Julius Caesar. The first play in 1950, Black and White, starred one of my favorite actors, and not only Marlon Brando, but Louis Calhoun played Big Julie, as the New York taxicabs call him. And it was Evan O'Brien, I think, who played Casca. It was a stellar cast, but Gene Stapleton and Carol O'Connor were very fine and well-trained and brilliant actors. So I guess, in a way, it's kind of appropriate to bring Gene Stapleton's name up, because the Gene Stapletons in Massachusetts are out there voting, and those of us who support Scott Brown's candidacy, let's see what he does if he gets elected, are out there and saying we're going to be heard, and we're not going to take it anymore. In that famous movie Network. Also, it's the birthday of Fritz Weber, famous actor who starred in a lot of films, great voice, and also in media, Robert McNeil. Those of you who listen. Since PBS and the McNeil-Lehr Report, it's still called the McNeil-Lehr Report, although Robert McNeil is not on it anymore. It's Jim Lehr, who is a former United States Marine, although you wouldn't know it. McNeil is one of those Canadians. It's interesting. If you're into accents, you should listen to the major media people who are either the news desk and their accents. Well, for instance, Tom Brokaw, you'd never know it, but I think he's from South Dakota. We had one of my favorites was from North Carolina, Chet Huntley and David Brinkley. David Brinkley, I met him and interviewed him at American Booksellers, and a very fine gentleman, a perfect example of the citizens of North Carolina. Great voice also. We don't see those types today. But we also had another Canadian, the guy on ABC News, who was from Nova Scotia. God, I forgot his name. I guess I'm getting old. But he became infamous. He showed up at the Bilderbergers conference in Europe, and the Bilderbergers are supposed to be one of these shadow organizations that's trying to set up a new world order, or have set up a new world order, or want to. It's difficult to see what these people are doing and why they have all the secrecy and the all these heavily armed guards around their meetings at the Bilderberger Hotel. And, of course, Dianne Feinstein, the senator from California, she was at one of these meetings. We don't know why. But, so we have, a lot of our national desk. Of course, Dan Rather was from Texas. And would you believe it, Walter Cronkite was also from Texas. So, but they had beautiful voices. Oh, no, Dan Rather is still alive. But it's interesting if you listen to their accents, and the Nationals have kind of I guess they're aiming for a Midwestern accent and sometimes a Canadian accent, and you listen to certain syllables. Excuse me. For those of you who are following us on YouTube, there will be more stuff up there. One of my favorite things is I came across a rare two-seater original restored Ford with Oregon plates. We call it Oregon Car Heritage. So that we were working on that. So that should be up on YouTube, Amicus Veritas, Amicus Veritas, and it will show how a yuppie abused his dog in our canine and cat's Tales of the City. We want to have. We're trying to have an eclectic variety on all of our shows, whether it's video. We're getting back into print, and also blog talk. So we're going to we also have a famous artist coming up, and a Marine, a former Marine who served. He was lucky. He served stateside in Hawaii, which is one of the best postings. However, he told me that when he was in Hawaii, the things that the natives used to do to the Marines, and they were horrible. I've never heard this before. So we're going to have an interview with him. And then we're going to have an interview with a guy who teaches art, because those of you who like art and appreciate it, or are budding artists or want to be artists, if you have kids in school, the very first thing, the very first course that's cut when they claim their budget problems is art and music. So we'll be discussing that. And there's a new trend with what I call urban art. So that's coming up. And also, I haven't forgotten about the Aussies. January 26th is the Australian National Day, and we'll be talking about Australian contributions to the States. It isn't only Qantas and Diggeridoo and Kangaroo Jack, I think that's his name, or those restaurants. But anyway, I had a great time when I was over there, and I did a lot of interviews, and we will be bringing up some of we'll be featuring excerpts from some of those interviews. They're timeless. And, you know, if you want to call in, it's 1-347-633-9620. We're trying to tweet. I'm learning all these things. We're not going to go on Facebook because my life has been threatened. They tried to do a Dan White on me. And so I'm not going to make it easier and encourage them. Because of some of the controversial cases that I've been involved in. And I'm not going to be bullied or intimidated, but I'm not going to put myself unnecessarily at risk. So those of you who want me to join you on Facebook, I have to decline, but I thank you for the invitation. But I'll try to learn this tweet thing, and, so I'll try to keep people aware. And also, you know, playing it's on up on the web, whether it's YouTube, Amicus Veritas, our blog, or Blog Talk Radio. So, you know, you've got a wide variety. We keep up in the archives all of our shows, so you can listen to them, download them, and listen to them at your leisure, learn, laugh, cry, yell, whatever. So we'll keep those up, and we'll be providing, as I said, more variety. Some of the things you can do, I would suggest, again, the healthcare crisis is not over. There's still a lot of misinformation, and of course, there's no justification for these 2,000 pages that comprise this bill, which should be aborted. I think that's the best phrase. But here's something that some of the medical people are doing to cut the cost of bookkeeping. If you pay cash or you pay half or whatever, and you've got to negotiate these things. You know, this is the time to negotiate everything. As I tell people, if you're trying to cut your food bill, when you go into the grocery store, you go into the meat section, whatever, or the wine section, ask, I always do, what time do you mark stuff down? What are you marking down today? And they'll tell you, but they're not necessarily going to advertise it or offer it unless you express an interest. So ask and expect to receive. If you don't ask, you can't expect to receive. So try doing those things. Also, negotiate some of these fees with your doctor or your dentist. I saved 50% just by negotiating a fee for some dental work. So, those things are quite expensive. You expect quality. You expect competence. You don't want to get trench mouth or anything. So this is important that you've got to be alert. You've got to be on your toes. You've got to be aware, and you've got to ask. The other things, we've got an election coming up. Be prepared. I don't agree with Glenn Beck on a couple of things. He doesn't understand, at least he hasn't brought it up yet. He keeps talking about progressives, but those of you who lived through the Depression remember that the Communist Party was very big. And, of course, we, during World War II, FDR and Churchill embraced Uncle Joe Stalin. Churchill even said, and he was the biggest anti-communist, said I would go to hell or something like that to get rid of Hitler. I would, you know, he joined, literally embraced Stalin, but kept him at arm's length and tried to stop Stalin from invading and occupying Eastern Europe after the war. But anyway, what happened was the American Communist Party, they made films like North Star starring Gregory Peck, which is about Soviet partisans fighting the Nazis. And Hollywood was full of these communists and the fellow sympathizers, fellow travelers, they were called, or parlor pinks. But after the war, people realized that Stalin was a no-good Nick. He was as bad, if not worse, than Mussolini and Hitler and Tojo. And so what the American Communist Party did, and you can find some of this stuff, and it's called The Black Book of Communism. It's a very respectable, well-researched treatise that has not gotten a lot of publicity because we have so many of these people in our media. And they ignore or they lie and distort what the communists have done in America. But the communists went into their political closet and came out as progressives. Now, progressives in the 20th century in America were people like Fiorello LaGuardia, George Norris, people who were for public power, TVA, trying to help poor people, the Tennessee Valley Authority, that's what that, not the airline. And they were for the underdog, and they weren't profiting from other people's misery and poverty, and they weren't lying, cheating, stealing, raping, and manipulating the political system. Some of them were misguided. We even had the Townsend Plan here in California, a proposal for statewide health care for everybody, Dr. Townsend. That was during the 30s. And we had a governor who, quote, was a progressive, and that was very big here in California. But the term has gotten co-opted by the communists, and they do this all the time. People have short memories, or they don't go back and look at the history and look in the closet of these people, because there's a lot of skeletons and they're rattling around and they're trying to destroy this country, you know, by co-opting the media, co-opting the schools, co-opting the churches, co-opting government. And so the communists haven't given up. They've just gone in the closet and changed their clothes. So this is something you need to be aware of, and, you know, ignorance is not bliss. And also, another one of my phrases is the meek don't inherit the earth. They're lucky if they can inherit the dirt and afford 6 feet of it. Because communist, what was it, Khrushchev. Khrushchev said, I remember as a kid when we had to do the autumn bomb shelter training, I remember we had to go under our desk and face and our butts facing the window. And I was once said to the nun, my teacher, I said, "Well, if the blast is that hot, my butt's gonna get burned." So she gave me 10 whacks. But Khrushchev said, "We will bury you." And I don't think that the radical communists, the real hardliners, the Trotskyites, the Mensheviks, that whole crowd, have given up. They've just gone into the political closet and changed their clothes. So now on January 21st, it's depending on the day, we hope to have a little salute to Daniel Pearl, who I remember we both wrote for the San Francisco Business Times. I'll put up one of the articles I wrote. The cops loved it because it highlighted the work that they were forced to do but not get payment for. And we'll be talking about a lot of things that you need to be aware of in 2010 if you want to survive. And we'll be giving you more tips and hopefully more guests. And if you have any suggestions or criticisms, we don't like criticism, but anyway, you can email me at pverzola@gmail.com or Mikas Veritas at sbcglobal.net. And again, we invite you to our YouTube, Amicus Veritas, and we'll look forward to January 21st, Thursday. I think we're going to keep it straight. And sorry about that mistake yesterday, and I am recovering. So thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. And I also invite you to download any of the shows you might be interested in and may have missed. And I guess I should say, May the best man win. You know what I mean. This is Peter Paul Brizola working with the new channel. Thanks for listening. Mm-hmm.